Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Coffee and Christ.
I was going to say something, but I changed my mind. Welcome.
Welcome, everyone. I guess we're here, like, what would you say?
Illegally.
Like, illegally. I was thinking illegally, but I didn't know.
Scandalously.
Well, yeah, church.
Risque.
Risquely.
Even.
That's not a word. That's not a word.
I hate that.
That's not a word. But yeah, church was canceled tonight due to some sickness, and
Viddy is back.
The Viddy. COVID, for those who didn't pick up on the lingo there. But yeah, some people I know who got COVID, but I'm not going to call them out. But I do
Can
know.
Can you mouth it to me? I'm just kidding. We'll talk later.
We'll talk later. Yeah, but Lisa gave me the scoop.
I just air spelled it.
I can't.
You didn't keep up with my air letters?
I think it was.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I don't think him.
Oh, well, he does.
Oh, also, so. Oh, so this is one of them?
Uh huh. Yes.
Okay, yes. One of them. This is great. This is so funny. Anyway, sorry, I can't believe y'all can't. I wish you could see us right now. And then also.
Wait. I lost it. Well,
I'm trying to do it backwards so you can see it. So, all right, ready?
Actually, it's backwards for me as well.
Is it? Okay.
That's why I was struggling with it. There we go.
That was backwards. Hold on.
It was backwards for me again, but I got it.
I got it, and then.
Hang on, start over. I got it.
And more.
Wait, okay. You can leave yours on.
Okay.
We are good.
Okay, but then I'm going to mute mine and then.
Man, I hope you can't hear that.
We're back after some raw footage we had to go through.
Yeah.
Wow. But we're back.
Yeah. If you thought there was weird pauses, they were there for a reason.
Because there was.
There was. We didn't want to expose anyone.
So anyway.
We were just catching each other up on why church was canceled. So, anywho, we're here, though.
We are.
So, thank you all for tuning in. Yeah. On your drive from work to work, whatever it may be, to ball practice, picking up the kids, whatever it is. We're glad you're here.
You could be going to Wingstop in Cookeville. Because it's open.
Of course it is.
You could be going to one of my favorite hangouts, El Tapatio.
Mm-hmm.
You could be driving to Jackson County to a random holler. That's where I go.
That's where I
when
go.
I listen to Coffee and Christ. Because I live in a random holler Jackson County.
Not for long.
Not for long.
Anyway. We're getting closer. But Dylan, speaking of not for long, I've been just on your house. What's going on your week?
My week, first of all, started out with me playing some investigative skills, and I'm going to give some backstory on this, and I'll keep it as short as I can. I have always been obsessed with Joel Osteen, and I know I shouldn't be.
Isn't that like the mega preacher?
He's a mega church preacher. He preaches. Really? He's very like multimillionaire, big smile.
Big. I know who we're talking about.
You know, short curly hair.
Yeah.
I've wanted to go see him.
Really?
Listen to him preach, because I love the man. Though what he teaches is not right, sometimes. But there was a shooting in his church.
Really?
Over this past Sunday, actually. Oh. Luckily, they were in between services, and one person didn't pass away. But I was, like, watching the interview footage, like, shortly thereafter.
Yeah.
And, like, just the way he carries himself blows my mind. Like, if I was, like, if a shooting happened here, I'm a minister here. If something happened, I wouldn't be able to speak.
Yeah.
Like I would be so emotional. And Joel Osteen just...
Quick question. Do you think he even knew him?
Or oh, it was a lady. Or that knew, passed. No, absolutely not. I don't think he
knew. Because there's so many people. I'm sure he had some sympathy in his heart. But I don't know. I mean, like, if you're that, the congregation is that big. Like, for us, I mean, we got, what, 220 cops on like a Sunday? We pretty much know each other.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, like, it just blew my mind a little bit. Because I still like him. And I'll do a little confessional here. I listen to his podcast.
Really?
And there are times that I'm like, he's a big prosperity preacher.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, he's a millionaire. But, like, he's preaching that Christ wants you to be wealthy and, like, all this stuff. And I don't agree, but some things are good, and I like to listen to it.
Mm.
So I do listen to his podcast. Throw stones at me if you see me in public, if you wish, because a lot of people don't like him.
I think that's such a healthy thing to do. Like, even if, like, if we take it to, like, the political spectrum,
mm-hmm.
like, if you, like, I think it's so good to, like, follow somebody who's a straight Democrat or Republican.
Oh, yeah.
Who are, like, diehard red or diehard blue, whatever they are, just to, like, see their side of things mm-hmm. before you just start hurtling stones at them on, like, why they think this way. I think it's so, like, healthy to just, even if you're in a different, like, I'm not saying you gotta, like, go listen to some people who are just way wrong.
Yeah.
But sometimes that's...
It is good.
I think that's good. I think you can learn something there, or maybe that'll help you get to, I don't know, strategize almost. I don't want to make it like a battle plan, but like strategize how to maybe approach someone who's like that. I don't know. I think that's very healthy to do that.
Well, I've been really diving deep into this shooting at Joel Osteen's church and just seeing how he reacts and all of that. And... But I said, I've liked him. I asked my mom when I was in the seventh grade if I could go watch Joel Osteen. I've liked him for that long. Like, I like listening to him. I like listening to the man. I'll just tell you. But I don't agree with everything he says, everyone. But anyway. So then, let's see. The house, they're starting the siding tomorrow. I picked it out. And the stone.
Nice.
And so I picked out the stone for my fireplace. And for the house itself, there's stone in the corners and on the pillars. So that's coming along, advancing greatly. As far as my home front, there's been good times in the homestead this past week, and there has been some also unfortunate times. The good thing is Sydney Brewington absolutely did an amazing job on my landscaping that I asked him to do.
You got pictures?
I do not, because every time I get home, it's dark. And then when I leave home, it's dark, so I don't have any. I have one that I tried to take last night, and my flash, I was fighting with it because I couldn't figure out how to get it to flash.
You're so old.
Yeah, it's not a good pick. It's not.
Is it worth it? Am I going to make fun of you if you show this to me?
No.
No?
Maybe. This was taken at 8:46 p.m.
Because I don't make fun of people. Here you
go. I guess you do. Make fun of me.
I don't make fun of you.
Cool. Well, shows you, just, you can see.
That looks hecka good.
Look at that walkway.
I mean, that looks like yellow brick road. Like, he should paint that yellow, and we're going
to... We're not painting it yellow.
We're going to go skip and sing down that road.
But...
That's pretty cool.
Isn't it nice?
That is really nice. Yeah.
So, I cracked under pressure. It was supposed to be a surprise for my dad. Because not those pavers, but the pavers in front of... So, on my homestead, I have a large cabin... And then I have what we call the laundry hut. And the laundry hut is a one-bedroom, one-bath, tiny home. It's literally what it is. But, like, they're both, like, right beside each other. But the problem that I was finding was there was no, like, patio in front of the little one. So, like, you would track in mud and stuff every time you went in there. And then it was just, like, wearing a path in the grass between the big cabin and the little cabin. Like a dog when they go back and forth.
Yeah.
That's what I was doing with myself. So I was like, Dad's always wanted these bricks that were piled up in my yard were from his childhood home. And they've salvaged them. So I hate red bricks. I'm going to just tell you. I do not like red bricks ever. Anytime I buy a house with red bricks, paint it white. I do not do red. It's awful. Except for Santa Claus. But they were sentimental to him. So he's like, yeah, we're going to lay a brick patio. Tried. Failed. It looked so bad. I tried to do it. It looked bad. So I asked my buddy Sydney if he would do it, and it looked so good. So then he like matched it as much the best he could with the other pavers he bought. and he made this beautiful 3-foot-wide walkway from the cabin to the laundry hut or slash tiny home. And it looks like he did so good. So anyway, I was excited about that. The unfortunate part of the homestead is I have a roof leak in the bathroom. See,
don't you know plenty of people?
Well, Ty Street's working on it. He's just not gotten back to me. Anyway, so I would sometimes at random times, and I mean I never put two and two together. Well, I'd go in the bathroom and there'd be a puddle of water in the floor, and I'm like, "Where's this water coming from?" This has been a fight for probably a month. Where's this water coming from? I don't understand. The water heater's fine. The toilet's not leaking. The sink froze and busted. We fixed it. It's not leaking. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. So I've just been like drying it up and moving on with my life. I don't know what else to do. Well, I came home the other day when it was pouring the rain.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of water in the floor, like more than normal. And I was like, I don't know what's going on. So I dried, like used 4 bath towels and dried all this floor up. Then I had to use the bathroom. So I was doing what humans do and using the restroom. While I was sitting, a drop of water fell and hit me in the nose. And I was like, there it is. I looked up and it was leaking from the ceiling. So, but I have shiplap, right, like on the ceiling. So like you can't really, it comes through the crack of the shiplap. So like if it was a sheetrock ceiling, it would stain it and you could be like, oh, it's a roof leak. But for those of you judging me in your car, I have shiplap and I couldn't tell where it was coming from. So working on getting that fixed. And just moving on with life.
What an interesting life you live.
So yeah, that's been my week so far. Sorry about the Joel Osteen thing. I just wanted to say it.
That's crazy.
Back to you.
Back to me. Well, I mean, nothing's going on, to be honest with you. I'm trying to think. What? It's just same old right now. I'm trying to think. Nope, all the same.
Come on.
School, work, and that's about it, really.
You're in a wedding.
I am in a wedding.
Upcoming.
That's in like July 20th.
Well, you have pre-wedding festivities, maybe?
Yeah, bachelor trip. Actually, it's been in the talks. Oh, that's nice. Coming up in May.
What are they going to do?
I think we're just like renting a boat, I think.
A boat?
Like a houseboat.
Neat!
I think so. I think we're supposed to finalize all that like tomorrow. So.
Oh, nice.
Maybe.
That'll be fun.
But yeah, that's about it. I mean, it will get busy soon, like when it hits like Mexico, and the next weekend it'll be New York, and the next weekend will be the Masters, mm-hmm. and then the next weekend, actually I'll be done after that, so.
That's amazing.
Back to normal.
Can we talk about how jealous I am of your trip to see freaking Hamilton, man?
I'm going to see Hamilton, everyone.
That's so awesome.
I'm going to see him. I've never seen him. Never seen him on TV. Mm-hmm. Nothing. And actually, is it you that told me just don't even watch it on TV now? Can't remember where, if it was you or somebody else.
I think you should get. Well, I don't know. Like, do you want to know what to expect?
No. The Disney Plus version is just.
Is the play itself.
It's just the play, right? So, no, I'll just wait.
But
I'll wait till
the
I'll
man
experience it.
Is going to Broadway to watch Hamilton. That's amazing.
Hamilton.
Like, I'm not into that stuff, but Hamilton, I can sing every word to almost every song.
And you're just like,
and just the dance moves I do remember. I'm like, there was a trip that I had that I drove back from Florida by myself, which I love doing that. Andrew thinks I'm crazy, but I love to drive alone.
Yeah.
And I played the entire soundtrack through from Seaside, Florida to Cookeville, Tennessee.
Did it last?
Well, I went through once and decided that my performance was not good enough. So I started over and did it again.
Very subpar, and you're like,
anyway.
Again.
Anyway.
The second show's always better.
Just watch Disney Plus. Go to Disney Plus and watch it. It's 3 hours. Get some popcorn. There's a brief intermission of 5 minutes, so but you just watch it. It's so good. It's so good.
I'll say this one more time before we get started into some scripture. It's funny because right now I'm learning about early American history, which you would also be.
That's enough.
That's enough for this stuff. That's it. But it's talking about like the creation of the country, and like a lot of Alexander Hamilton and Thomas Jefferson and John Adams is all like thrown in there. And I'm just like, this is John Hamilton. Adams. This is all Hamilton right here. I'm like, oh, I love
Can
this
we just class. Take a minute? Whew. The king is so good whenever he says John Adams, but in a British accent, because he goes, John Adams! And it's just so good. It's so good, Jackson. Make sure you appreciate it over there, please.
I will.
Anyway.
I wish I knew what you were talking about.
You will.
I will.
You will, buddy. Proverbs.
We finished 19 and 20 this week. 21 and 22. I'm first, right?
You're first.
Yeah, I'm first. Again, hope everyone is kind of reading along with us. Maybe at home, your free time, whatever it may be. Maybe not your free time. Carve out some time. Spend some time in Proverbs, reading it over, meditating on what it has to offer. But first, my verse is up, and it's chapter 21, verse 2. It reads, "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart." This is like, I guess we can really relate this to everything we've been talking about with like Joel Osteen and stuff like that. About thinking it's like healthy to maybe research and like watch videos of maybe some other people who don't exactly believe what you believe, because everybody thinks they're right in their own eyes. We can justify our thinking in a lot of ways. Even if we maybe know in the core we're probably wrong, we could probably find a way to justify it. Make, you know, our mind, our fleshly bodies want to be right. Let's just put it that way. And so we can justify it. That our ways are right. And so people who maybe we think our ways are better than others, who, you know, maybe it's good to experience what they're experiencing. Why do they think this way? Why, you know, what scripture is Joel Osteen using to convince his point that everybody should be rich or something like that, you know, whatever it may be. And I've not listened to Joel Osteen. I don't know what it is. So I'm not going to get too far into it because I don't want to say something or misspeak. But the point is, you know, we all think we're right. You know, that's pride coming in. But, second part of that verse is, but the Lord weighs the heart. See, we all are going to have chances to, you know, every action that we do, you know, God sees our true intentions. No matter if it's like, you know what, I should do this. I should say this to this person, or say something encouraging to this person because someone else is going to see it. Or, you know, I should give money to this guy because the 20 cars behind me are going to see it. Our intention of our heart, God sees that. You know, it actually, you know, this verse kind of weighs to like the Egyptian way of thinking. Where it says weighing the heart, you know, Egyptians thought when they died that their heart was literally put on a scale with the feather of truth. And that's how it was granted afterlife. You know, that's how the gods were like, their gods were like, oh, this guy was actually good because they weighed his heart with the feather of truth. We're not like that. We know we're not like that. However, it kind of shows us like God knows our true intentions. And so how can we, you know, go throughout our day to kind of like, not justify what we've done or maybe what we think is right, but how do we do what God thinks is right? You know, and a lot of that is what is in Proverbs is, you know, having that fear of the Lord, really just diving into each one of these scriptures. And this is all what God thinks is right, you know, or it wouldn't be in here. You know, this is what God thinks is the truth, or it wouldn't be in the Bible. You know, this is truth. So how can we go throughout our lives clearly and explicitly only looking to this for answers? It's hard. It's not easy. We're not going to do it in a day, but just what are some ways that this week, you know, why should I help this person out? Because Jesus loves them, you know, not think because somebody else is going to see me, or more importantly, you know, God's like, oh man, Jackson, just help that person out. My guy. But in my heart, it was for the wrong intentions. It was purely so God or somebody else could see me, not out of a pure heart. So that's why I thought this verse was good. It just made me think, you know, I think I'm right all the time. But, you know, how can I rearrange my thinking so that when the Lord looks at my heart, he sees, you know, that they're pure intentions. So.
And my verse is verse 8. And it says, the way of the guilty is crooked, but the conduct of the pure is upright. Or the New King James may say, the way of the guilty man is perverse. But I actually thought about this today. And so I had to get some new tires on my truck, right? And shout out to Doug Freeman Tire.
Woo!
On Highway 70, not the one on Spring Street.
Don't get confused.
Doug Freeman. Doug. So Doug has always treated me fair, always done a good job. A lot of people will get three prices on everything. And some things it's good to get, so I don't price check Doug. You tell me what kind of tire I need, and that's what I'm going to get. You know, that's just that kind of relationship. So I bought a new truck, you know, back in November. And I even knew when I bought the truck that it had the original tires on the truck. There were the original ones that were new with it. Well, Ford, I'm still Ford man, true and true. Ford decided to cheap out on their tires. They used to come on the lot with either Michelin, BF Goodrich, a good tire. Well, now they have Pirellis. Mm. Pirelli is a cheap tire.
Mm.
So I have these Pirellis that are supposed to last 35,000, 40,000 miles. Your boy put 47,000 miles on those bad boys. I put 10,000 miles on my truck since I bought it in November. Nice. But the Pirellis had seen better days. Specifically the front ones. But I was trying to, you know, make it last, be a good businessman. Well, the other day, it was raining, and I lived down a crooked or perverse road, and it was raining. So I was driving home, probably at a higher rate of speed than I should have been, and went around a curve. Luckily, there was nobody coming around this curve with me, because my steering wheel was pointed to the left, and my truck kept going straight. And I was like, So me and the guardrail just about, you know, it was bad. Like, it was bad. Oh, I was scared. So I was like, time to get these old Pirellis off this truck. So that's why I got new tires today. But I got new tires because I didn't want to have to worry about driving on a crooked road or whatever. So obviously, if I was literally driving a straight line all the time, I just run the Pirellis. Don't worry about it. But nobody particularly enjoys traveling down a crooked road, right? We went to hear Jackson preach at, where were we?
Free State.
Free State on Sunday. A few crooked roads out there. But if I have a choice, and I think naturally everybody's like this, don't get me wrong, I enjoy driving back roads. But when I'm starting to make, you know, switchback turns like you do in Gatlinburg and Wilder Mountain and Jackson County, like, that's not fun anymore. I love to drive until I have to drive in that, and I don't like it. Put me on the interstate, put me on a highway, like, let's have a great time.
Yeah, I agree.
But nobody chooses, I don't think, and you might, and that's okay. You can still get to heaven. Not with the way I'm about to say it, but, like, physically, if you enjoy crooked roads, good for you. But I don't like that. Number one, I get car sick if I'm not driving. And number two, if you have bad tires, you might slide off the road like I did.
Mm-hmm.
But moral of the story is, and I don't mean to get off on a tangent, that the way of the guilty is crooked. And you think about us as people, typically don't choose to drive on a crooked road. You're not going to teach your 16-year-old daughter how to, on her first day of driving, or 15-year-old, we're not going to take her up to Gladys Highway in Jackson County and say, have fun.
Go ahead.
Take her to a parking lot that's straight or a highway that you're just not going to have. Because it's easier. It's more fun.
Yeah.
So why would anybody choose to live a guilty life? You know, that's what this is talking about, that the way of a guilty person is twisted and perverse and crooked and dangerous, but we have a choice. Like, I have a choice every morning when I leave to go to work. I live in Jackson County. I work in Allgood. That's across, you know, it's a 30-minute drive. I can cut my drive time by 6 minutes if I cut through Cummins Mill. I don't do it. because I don't want to drive through Cummins Mill.
I was like, that's terrible.
It's terrible.
That's terrible.
I'd rather take Highway 56 and I-40 than cut 6 minutes off my time driving through a curvy road. But I have the choice, and it's not a hard choice. I don't really dwell on it. I don't. It's not a hard choice for me to make. But we have, spiritually, I don't know why you would choose to live a guilty life. It's not a hard choice. Because then you read, but the conduct of the pure is upright. So his work isn't crooked. It isn't perverse. It's not scary. Well, I mean, I guess it could be in a way scary. But being pure does not mean that you're perfect. Pureness and perfectness do not correlate. But being pure means you have good intentions. You're vulnerable. You're transparent. When you make a mistake, you fix it. You move on. That's purity. And so many people mistake purity with perfection. And it's two totally different things. And so they live a guilty life because they're like, well, I'm not perfect. You know what? Neither am I. But I don't feel like, and this, and maybe I am, and if I am, I'll work on it. But I don't feel like I live a guilty life. Now, I'm not perfect, but I think I'm pure. And I think so many non-Christians or Christians just really get that confused of they live their entire life guilty. And we are guilty for our sin, you know, but we have to understand that we have a Savior that blended pureness and perfection. He did it for us, so we don't have to, and we can't. And so take that verse to heart and understand that you can make a choice and live not perversely, and you can drive down a straight highway of pureness, of holiness, of transparency, of vulnerability. You can live that life. And now, there are times that it's hard, because you have to admit when you're wrong, but you live that life, and it's so much easier. You don't have to feel guilty all the time. You don't have to drive down a curvy road spiritually. You can be pure. So that's why I picked verse 8.
Oh, yeah. Moving on to chapter 22, my verse is up again. It's verse 3. It says, the prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. So we recognize those words, prudent and simple. Those are, they were a lot, that's not going to make sense. They were used a lot in the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, kind of comparing the two different kinds. The people who walked in wisdom were the prudent, and the ones who were more, I guess, crooked, we could use, or in their ways, or was usually talked about as the simple. But the reason why I picked this is, you know, we obviously want to be the prudent. It's the same what you were saying, that we obviously want to pick the straight path. Why would we ever want to pick these crooked roads that we just would love to live on every day? You know, why would we do that? We don't want to. So we obviously do not want to be the simple. And so in this verse, the prudent sees danger and hides himself. You know, this is a very inward, like, dial or, like, conflict. You know, you have the spirit in you, and then you have the flesh, and they fight against each other because they don't like each other. You know, and that's been a part of the problem this entire time. But just thinking, you know, if we're trying to be prudent, when we see danger, whether that be, you know, I don't know, but any situation, you know, at work, at home, at school, depending on just whatever stage of life you're in, you know, when we see danger, it is much better to hide ourselves, to hide from it. Maybe that is, you know, there's multiple verses in Proverbs that we've read before this where we're supposed to completely, like, turn. You know, that's what the whole word, you know, repent is. That really means to turn and go the opposite direction. So when we see danger, we should hide ourselves, we should turn completely and go the opposite direction so that we don't become these simple people, you know, where we go on and we suffer for it, meaning that we went on straight through the danger, we experienced it, and now we're suffering for it, you know, because of what we thought maybe was right, you know, going back to the first verse I talked about, you know, maybe we thought it was right. So this verse just, it stuck out to me because obviously we want to be prudent. We want to be full of wisdom, you know, and there's, you know, times where wisdom and flesh fight against each other, and it is much easier. And, you know, as it says here, very, you know, smart of us to just turn, to hide ourselves, to get away from it, you know, and not let it cause any, you know, conflict of that we're going to have to pay for or suffer for, as it says in the next part. So that's just what I thought was cool.
So in 22, verse 9, it says, "Whoever has a bountiful eye will be blessed, for he shares his bread with the poor." Bountiful or generous eye. So me and Jackson talked about this last week. I think it was last week, maybe, or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah. Bless you.
About giving money to the poor and physically, you know, giving somebody $5, $20, whatever. That's not really the route that I want to go here. And this is solely my opinion. This is the way I try to be. I'm not always, but I'm working on it. But it says, "He who has a generous or bountiful eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor." So this idea of being generous, I think the world has turned that into, you know, money. And my opinion of money is, you know, pay your bills, do what you got to do, save a little, and then who cares about the rest? We're not going to get into that. That's kind of my mentality. But let's just talk about, for this verse, when you're talking about a generous or being bountiful eye, and this part where he shares his bread with the poor, they're using this example of bread as physically withholding yourself or giving yourself less to give somebody else more. And to me, with people, I think we don't have a generous eye enough. I want to bring up a controversial topic. Is it Travis Kelce that's dating Taylor?
Yeah, yeah.
So I watched the Super Bowl on Sunday. Unimpressed, by the way. But I watched the Super Bowl, and it was like watching paint dry into the last 3 minutes, and I'd already been asleep on the couch 45 minutes, and it was just, I had to wake up, and I'm like, oh, it's an overtime. Oh, so then I was trying to really pay attention. But social media has been blowing up this week about Travis Kelce coming up to his coach, yeah, and like, what's the coach's name for the
Andy
Chiefs?
Reed.
Coming up to Andy Reid. He's like 65.
Right.
Built like a tank. He's built like a tank. And he pulls Kelce out of the game. And he comes up to him and kind of not shoves him, but like bumps into him. And he is like screaming at him. And immediately, I mean, because I watched that happen, looked at Facebook, and then fell asleep. But Facebook immediately, people, some kind of role model he is. And I'm not saying he's a role model, but I'm just saying what they're saying. You know, some kind of role model he is. You know, he should be fired from the Chiefs because, I mean, just immediately, you know, downgrading him, canceling him, all this stuff. And at first, when I was watching it, I was like, "That the audacity of that man. I can't believe he just did that." But then, a couple of days later, as in today and yesterday, people have been like, because they interviewed, and they actually asked Andy Reid about it in his post-game interview, is, "How do you feel about Travis Kelce tackling you nearly?" And he was like, he was laughing, and he was like, "That's the kind of relationship that we have. Like, he's like my son. He makes me feel young. Was he a little bit heated? Yes. But have any of you listeners been in the Super Bowl? If you have, reach out. I'd love to meet you personally. But you don't know what kind of emotions. You don't know. I mean, I might do that too if I was in the Super Bowl.
Right.
Heck, if I was in a Vision basketball game, who knows what I would do? You know, your emotion. You have no idea how he was feeling in that moment. You just have a 3-second snapshot of his life. Mm-hmm. And immediately it's like, oh, he's a jerk. He's terrible. You know, looking at people with a generous eye to me is simply having the best interest for other people and understanding what they're going through and understanding the situation and their emotions. Because I don't care if you agree with somebody or not. Everybody's emotions and how they feel matter. Everybody. Whether you agree or disagree, that is a fact. If you feel something, then it's valid. It's important. Because we're important. But looking at people with a generous eye, I think, is to understand that we're all children of God. Just like Jackson was talking about earlier. We're all important to Christ and God. And generosity isn't just giving physically to the poor. It's putting somebody else's needs above yours and understanding them and doing something for them, whether it's physical or not. And I just think there's the world is looking at that so wrong because it's always, well, I'm only looking out for me. I don't care about anybody else. I don't care about how anybody else's feelings. That's just how I am. It's not how you're supposed to be. You know, and I'm just as much guilty because Christ expects us to look at him and look at people through his eyes. I'm pretty sure you have a sermon about that, right? Or Devo or something else. Looking at people through the eyes of Christ, looking at them with generosity, you know, with bountiful eyes. And that's the way I'm taking this, not necessarily for money. And when he talks about the bread, physically, that's just you withholding something from yourself and allowing somebody else to have it because you know that they need it. It doesn't have to be money. It can be your time. It can be your expertise. It can be advice. It can be whatever. But how about we just pay attention to people and understand people? And here's the biggest part. Just care about everybody instead of just caring for yourself. You know, we should be putting the needs of others before our own. We should be going the extra mile for people because that's what Christ did. And looking at people with a generous eye, you know, not just looking at people as objects or as people in your way or inconveniences. Looking at people as people, as children of God, and saying, well, what can I do to help them? What can I do to encourage them? What can I do to whatever? Because it's not all about us. In the grand scheme of things, we don't matter. And the only thing that our purpose is to allow the love of Jesus to be magnified through us. And he was that way. He was generous. He was bountiful. And somehow we've just lost that in translation. I mean, like I said, I struggle with it. Of us just not caring about anybody but ourselves. So bless somebody else. And just care about them. So that's why I picked verse 9. So read up on Proverbs.
That's right. 21-22.
So do you have any parting words of wisdom for the folks?
No parting words. I think you covered it pretty well.
Well, we hope you have a great week. We hope that you're safe to your destination. And if you need new tires, go get them. Don't be driving them on crooked roads dangerously.
That's right. Yeah.
And that's it.
That's it. We love you.
Hope you have a great week.
Jesus loves you.
Bye.